Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nida Daf Chof Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara Marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. We begin today's shiur 3 lines from the top of Daf Chofei. Before we begin the Gemara, let us glance at the outside margin, where you'll notice a nosei, a topic heading, under which we've written Hamapelis Shvir Malei Bosar. The Gemara will deal with a woman who miscarries or discharges a sack. A shvir is essentially the skin that forms in advance of the formation of the fetus. This is called the fetal skin, which forms before the internal organs and bone structure develops. Now, in this case, the shvir is filled with basar, with flesh or meat. And we want to know what type of legal effect this has by way of tumas leda on the mother. The third line from the top in the Gemara, Shalu lifnei Rebbe. The question was presented to Rebbe, Hamapeles shvir molei bosar mahu, a woman who discharges a shvir full of bosar, flesh. What is her status? Omar lohem lo shomati. Rebbe responded, I do not know. I didn't hear an answer to that question. Omar lefonav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi was a contemporary of Rebbe. He said, Kach Omar Abba, thusly my father, which is Rabbi Yossi, says, Maloi dam tameo nida, maloi bosor tameo leda. If a shvir is discharged full of blood, that would make the mother or the woman a nida, and she'd be Tamea for 7 days, following which the Ziva cycle of 11 days would ensue. If it's full of flesh, then Tamea later. That would constitute a birth, whereby she would be Tamea for 14 days, in accordance with the number of days of Tumah that follows a birth. And 14 is associated with a female birth. 7 days of Tumah is associated with a male birth. Omar Lei, so Rebbe says, Il mole dover chodesh amarta lanu mishum avicha shemanucha. If you had told us some novel point of law in the name of your father, so we would listen to that, we would heed that teaching. Achshav, however, midaha kamaisa kichida komar, but now the first point that you taught us, the halach of melo dam, she's tamei anida, this essentially is the opinion of a single individual, a shitas yochid. And that happens to be the shita, the opinion of Sumchus, who said it in the name of Rebbe Meir. And a shitas yochid is something that we don't follow in general. Honami, the second point, the Shvir Mole Bosar, Shema Kerebi Yoshua Omra. It may be that that is in accordance with the opinion of Rebbe Yoshua, who we'll see later on. V'ein Halacha Kerebi Yoshua. Rebbe Yeshua's approach to a Shvir discharge is that the fact that there is this skin that constitutes the Shvir that is discharged, that alone is mitame the mother. That's enough reason for mitame the mother to masleda, and we don't follow that. So that Rebbe is a little suspicious, so to speak, with regard to that which Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi is teaching, and doesn't feel bound to follow these two rulings. Now, the Gemara gives us the background for Rabbi Yeshua. Desanya, Hamapeles. We have a Tanaic source that states, Hamapeles, Shvir She'ena Merukam. If a woman discharged a Shvir that is not Merukam. Later, the Gemara, at the bottom of this Amud, there's a Tanaic source. You can see where the Gemara asks, Ezu Shvir Merukam. What constitutes a Shvir Merukam? So it's defined there. For our purposes, it has to do with a certain level of development, internal or fetal development. So a shvir sheinam rukam is a shvir that is at a very, that is at this extremely early stage where there's no real fetal development. So Rabbi Yeshua Omer Vlad, Rabbi Yeshua says that constitutes a birth, which would draw along with it the rules of tumah. V'chachomim omrim eino vlad. No, this is not significant enough to constitute a vlad, a birth. As we go on, we have a nosei, a topic heading on the outside margin, followed with by a mivneh, a structural note, which features these diamonds that we see now in the Gemara. So the structural note reads, Machlekes Tanoim v'mapeles Shvir Sheinam Rukam. We just saw that, the Tanaic controversy surrounding a discharge of a Shvir that's not developed. And the diamonds are Shnei Deyos, two opinions, b'mai chulkim hatanoim, two Amoraic opinions, Rabbi Shimon Lokish and Rabbi Shimon Levi, as to what is the point of machlokis, or the subject of the machlokis between Rabbi Yeshua and the Chachomim. We will see references to shvir tzolul, a shvir that has a has transparent liquid in it, or clear liquid, and shvir okur is a shvir that has that its contents are murky or turbid. The Gemara, Omar Rabbi Shimon ben Lokish, Mishum Rabbi Shaya, Machlokes Beochur. The Machlokes Tanoim will concern a shvir that is murky. In other words, the contents are murky. Avo Betzol, if it's clear, Dibrei Hakol Eino Valad. Everyone will agree, even Rabbi Yeshua will agree, that does not constitute a birth. Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi Omar. But solu machloikis, all he says is that if it's a clear liquid, it will be a Tanaic controversy. He doesn't make a comment outright at, regarding the murky content shvir. So the Gemara asks, Ibaya leho, but solu machloikis, is it so that, according to Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, if it's clear, then there is a machlokis, avol the okur divrei hakol vlad. But if it's murky, then everyone would agree. Even the chachomim would agree that the murkiness is an indication of a dissolved fetus and or dissolved fetal contents, we'll say, and hence that is a birth. Oidilma, or possibly bein bozeh machlokis. Or that both are the subject of a machlokis. Teku, so this point remains unresolved. Meisvei, we raise a kashi here, and this is a, you'll see it's a long question, and it's illustrated by the kufas encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. And as the point of this question will be to raise a question on Reish Lakish. Reish Lakish mentioned that Tzolul, everyone would agree, is not a Vlad. We're going to challenge that in our discussion. Meisvei, Es Zu Dorash Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya, Vayas Hashem Elokim Lodom Lishto Kosnos Or Vayal Bishem. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya expounds on this pasuk, which is in the story of Odom and Chavo, after their sin in Gan Eden. It says that Kodesh Baruch Hu made for Adam and his wife and Chava some type of garment. That's kosnos or ve'al bishem. Melamed she'ein HaKodesh Baruch Hu oisa or la'odom elo im kein notzar. From here we learn that or is made for a person only if he has been formed. The Tosfos elaborates a little bit on this. She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu Se'or, the Kosnos Or, the word Kosnos Or, the word Or, which literally means is skin or leather, is a reference to the person's skin. Be'or Odom Mairi. It's Kosnos, it's a cloak, it's a garment for his skin, for the person's skin. In other words, one should not think that the word Kosnos Or means that the or is a description of the kosnos, of the garment itself, but rather it's a garment for the skin of the person. Kidimitargaminon, as the Targum, as the Aramaic interpretation or explanation indicates, al meshach bisrehon, on their flesh. So this pasuk mentions Adam in it, and it mentions or, so that or, if there is or, so it's an indication of formation. The Gemara says, "Alma v'or talya milsa," so that existence or the presence of a person is dependent on or loshna ochor v'loshna tzolo. Not any difference made whether it's murky or it's clear. So that you have the shfir skin that already would constitute an odom. And that would draw along with it the idea of leida, and meaning and dinim of tumah. I amris bishlama b'tzolul machlekes. If you say unlike Reish Lakish that a clear shvir would be something that tanoim would argue about, hainu the itzdrich kra. Therefore, I need a posuk, and the posuk would be for Rabbi Yoshua to say that or is the deciding factor, and it's considered a vlad because there is the or, the skin that constitutes the shvir, even though the contents are clear. And we might as well add that this is a type or this is a concept that I wouldn't have been able to come up with on my own. But if you say that the machlokes tanoim concerns only the okur and not the clear one, and the okur, the murkiness, is a function of a dissolved fetal presence, and not because of the or, that the machlokis surrounds the, as we say, the machlokis surrounds okur because of this dissolved element aspect of things, and not because of the presence of the or, lomali kra. What do I need the pasuk for that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya featured? Svora bi'almahu. It's something that you could figure on your own. That why is there a murky content? It's because the fetal development dissolved, and that makes it, and that would be that which makes it into a legal odom. And yet, I don't that. And yet, there a pasuk was brought in to this discussion in under Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya. So we must conclude that the machloikis above with Rabbi Shua and the Chachomim is concerning the clear shvir, and in that case Rabbi Yeshua says that even a clear shvir does constitute a vlad. Shmamino, this is conclusive, and we have a conclusive repudiation of Reish Lakish's approach. Just to review, Reish Lakish said that if it was solo, everyone would agree it's not a vlad. The fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Hananya in this Tanaic source brings a posuk showing us that skin is that which determines human development, making no distinction between clear versus murky, the skin is the factor, it shows us that solo is something that would be considered a vlad, and hence a repudiation of Reish Lakish's approach. V'chein Omar Rav Nachman Omar Rabba Bar Avuah. You'll have to note that we have a semicolon at the end of the previous line, so as to preempt a mistake. The word v'chein is not a continuation of the very last point, but it goes back to Reish Lakish. In other words, just like Reish Lakish said, machloikis be'okur, and everyone agrees by the tzolul, so that it's not a vlad. Here too, Rav Nachman, in the name of Rabba Bar Avuah, agrees with Reish Lakish from above, machloikis be'okur, avol be'tzolul, divrei hakol eino vlad. Esvei Rava le Rav Nachman. Notice we have a kasha here, and this is a long question. Rava asks, there's a source, and the source has to do with the rules of a firstborn, and more specifically concerning that which follows follows that which is a firstborn. If the first thing to be discharged from a mother is something that's questionable, so then as being a firstborn, then we'd have to try to analyze what is the status of the second normal birth that comes from a mother. In this case, a mother animal. The source says, Ella Amru, Simen Vlad Bebehemo Daka Tinuf, the sign of a birth would be something called Tinuf. Tinuf is a type of a murky or slimy discharge coming from a Behemo Daka. In this case, a Behemo Daka is something like sheep or goat. That slimy discharge is associated with the presence of a Vlad, of a birth. If that be the case, then an animal born after that would not be considered a firstborn. Begasa shilya. What constitutes a birth in the case of a large animal, like a cow? That would be a placenta emergence. And then, therefore, if there's a normal birth later on, that normal birth would not be its bechor, because the simen of a vlad, the simen of a birth, is a placenta, even a placenta. And be'isha, by a woman, a human being, shvir v'shilya, a shvir or a shilya would be considered a birth. Ve'ilu shvir b'vehema lo potar. We see here that when it comes to the animals, shvir does not figure as a birth. E'amers b'shilma b'tzolul machlokes. If you say, unlike Rav Nachman, that the above Tanaic controversy between Rabbi Yishon and the Chachamim was concerned a clear shvir, Mishum Hachi Isha, therefore, in this particular teaching, when it comes to a woman, the Ravi Ba Kra Potar Ba Shafir, in the case of a woman, where you have a special posuk, a special riboy by a person, so there the shvir would have significance as a birth. Bevehema dolo ravi kra, by an animal where you don't have a special posuk, lo potar bo shvir, so shvir would not figure, it wouldn't be considered a birth. However, if you take the approach that Rav Nachman cited, just like Reish Lakish before, that the machlokes in the realm of shvir concerns the murky one, michti. Let's look into that. Savora hu, the constitution or constituting a murky shvir as a vlad, if you were to hold that, that would be a point of logic. Nothing to do with the fact that there is skin per se, but rather the contents of the shvir, the murkiness, is a dissolved fetus. Well, if that be the case, my shno isha umay shno bema, why should a distinction made between a woman where we say the shvir exempts or is considered a vlad, or is considered a birth, and by behema it's not? If it's a dissolved fetus, then it should constitute a birth by a behema as well. And yet, in this source, you see, there is a distinction made between Behemo and Isha. It must be that the distinction is dealing with a clear shvir. And a clear shvir, the only reason to metame, or to be considered a valad, is because of the skin that is there. Obviously, not the contents, it's just they're clear. Clear doesn't indicate anything. But only the skin is there to indicate something, and hence I needed a pasuk for that. We saw above the pasuk of Vayas Hashem Elokim L'Adam Ishto Kosnes Or Vayal Bishem, and since you're dealing with a clear shvir, there is reason for making a distinction between animal and person. As we said before, the person has the pasuk, and the animals don't have the pasuk. But all of this calls into question the approach Rav Nachman took, who devalued, if you will, or discounted altogether the clear shvir. The Gemara responds, Mi savris Rav Yeshua mifshet poshet lei. Rav Yeshua said that a shvir sheina merukam is a vlad. Who is to say that Rav Yeshua had a definitive stance on that? Rav Yeshua sfuke mesafkale. Rav Yeshua was in doubt about shvir in general, including the murky shvir. He was in total doubt about how to look at legally a shvir. The Ozil Hachalachumra, the Hachalachumra. And Rabbi Yeshua's approach to Shvir is to take the points of stringency wherever they may apply. As the Gemara explains, Gabi Isha, in the case of a woman, Dimamonahu, Safek Mamona Lakula. Mamona is a reference to the five silver coins, the five sloim offered to a Kohen when redemption of the firstborn is necessary. Let us say a woman's firstborn, so to speak, is a discharge of a shvir. So he will tell you, Rabbi Yeshua will take the approach that the next birth will not be redeemed. It's a function of mamon, it's a money issue of paying the Kohen, and since there is a suffix, how to constitute the first thing that came out, which was a shvir discharge. Therefore, we won't mechayev the father to pay five sela to the kohen. When you have a doubt concerning mamon, we say lekula, meaning it's lenient, meaning that he doesn't have to pay. You leave the money where it is, and the father does not have to pay. So we're not mechayev the father to redeem that which comes after the shvir discharge. Gabi behema. The isurahu deika legabi giza avoida. With regard to animals, the issue is one of prohibition. In other words, there's a halacha that a firstborn animal is not allowed to be shorn nor to be worked with. Therefore, which is the firstborn? Safek isura lechumra. We take the approach that if you have a doubt concerning matters that are ritually prohibited. Isur, as opposed to mamon, we use the word ritual, but it's a poor translation, possibly. However, it's in contrast with financial matters, religious matters, or ritual matters. We will therefore say suffik. When we have a suffik in the realm of isur, we say lechumra, and therefore the shvir discharge will not be considered a laid up, and that which comes afterwards will be entertained or considered a bechor, thereby prohibiting the shearing and the use of it for work. So there we are giving a bechor label to the second thing, as opposed to the case of the woman and the pidyon haben issue. We do not give a bechor label to the second one as far as needing to redeem it. Hachinami gabi isha. So too by woman, however, in the case of the non-mamon aspect of things, safek tuma l'chumra. The issue of tuma, is this a birth or is it a nothing? If it's a birth, so the woman will become tamea as a woman who bears a child. Therefore, regarding tuma, we will consider the shvir as if it is a valad l'chumra, yielding the stringency of Tumas Leda, and she will have to observe the 2 weeks that are associated with a woman who just gave birth. Rashi also adds that we will not give her the Yemei Tohar that follow the Yemei Tuma. Yemei Tohar, of course, is a leniency associated with birth, where any blood that a woman sees following the initial Tuma week or 2 weeks, the blood that comes from her is no problem, is tohar. The Gemara asks, Umi misafko lei? Is Rabbi Yeshua in doubt? V'ha kra ka'omar. We had a pasuk before at the or of a shvir is considered a leida. We saw that above in the pasuk where Rabbi Shua ben Hanania said, "Vayas Hashem Elokim l'adam liishto kos nasor vayal bishem." By the way, we have a little arrow to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text, and you can align this with that which appears above, the arrow there, pointing to the line where you saw the pasuk. Well, the Gemara says it's true he cited a pasuk, but midrabbanan ukro asmachto bi'almahu. The pasuk is not an actual Torah source for his teaching, but rather his teaching is the use of the pasuk and associating it with the skin of the shvir is a rabbinic idea, not a Torah tradition, but a rabbinic idea, and it's used simply as a basis for the rabbinic concept of the or of the shvir being considered a leida. Omar lei Rav Chanina bar Shalmi ala Rav. Rav Chanina asks Rav, you'll notice we have a series of double underlines that come up now. On the outside margin, we have written that they represent a, under the Mivne heading, a structural note, Rishimo she Rabbonim, a list of Rabbonim, shehibiu daitom legabi shvir, that expressed their opinions regarding the matter of shvir. So we've seen quite a few names up till now, and here there we see a review of them. He says, Rav Chanina says to Rav Ha, Rebbe. We've seen Rebbe. He was found in the upper part of the page where he addressed that which Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi had taught. And so we saw his reaction to the issue of Shvir. Ha, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. We saw his presentation, making a distinction between Mlo Dam and Mlo Bosar. The Ha Rav Hoshaya, we saw a reference to Rav Hoshaya in this context. He said that Ba'okur, there was a machlekes. The Ha Rav Yeshua ben Levi, and we have seen him as well, Rav Yeshua ben Levi. Mor Keman Svirolei. More, you, Rav, who do you hold like? Omar Lein, so Rav says, Ani Omer Echodze Vechodze, Eino Choshesh. Whether it be awkward or clear, she does not consider it a Vlad. It's not, it's nothing. Ushmul Omer Echodze Vechodze, Choshesh. Shmuel says that she does have to take into consideration that it is a Vlad, whether it be murky or clear, and that means she'll have to observe the days of Tumah without the days of Tara that are associated with birth. The also Shmuel Itameh, Shmuel, in taking this stance, is consistent with what he has said elsewhere. The Chiosa Ravdimi Omar, me oilom loidochu shvir benahardo. Nahardo is a place, a city which was supervised by Shmuel. It was Shmuel's place. So he says that in Nahardo they never declared dochu is tohor. They never declared tahara a shvir. The bar meahu shapira, except for the case of a shvir, shapira is a shvir, the also lekame de Shmuel, that was presented to Shmuel, the monach ole chut hasaira mehai gisa, he placed on it a hair on one side, v'chazio mehai gisa, and saw through the shvir, through this transparent shvir, the hair from the other side. Omar, Shmuel said, a shvir like that, im isa devlad havoi, if it were so that it was a dissolved fetus, lo havizig kulehai, it wouldn't have been so transparent. But in general, whether it be a totally murky shvir or a clear type shvir, Shmuel would have said, you have to consider that it might have been a vlad. V'im hoya merukam v'chulei. Before going on in the Gemara, we have a title to the sugya, topic heading, Ti'ur ha'ubar, a description of the fetus, Bishlova Harishonim, in its first stages of development. We note here that there's another description like this on Daf Lamed Omid Beis, another reference to a fetus in its development, but from a, let's say, at a different stage, if you will. The Gemara, and we should also point out that this Tanaic source continues to the upper part of Omid Beis. The source begins, Ezu Shvir Merukam. What is a Shvir Merukam, which we explained before, has to do with a Shvir in its developmental stages. Abashol Omer, Tchivas Briyoso Kiroshum. Its first stage of development is like a Roshum. And Roshum is a locust, is as is explained on the side of the Gemara. It's a description of a certain size, if you will, that of development that we are looking at now. Ushtei einov kishtei tipin shel zvuv. The embryo's eyes at this point are like the two eyes of a fly. Tipin literally are drops, but the Rashi calls it einei zvuv, the eyes of a fly. Toni Rabbi Chiya, miruchokim zeh mizeh. The eyes of the fetus are, relatively speaking, are far away from one another. If any of you have seen photographs of early stage embryonic development, you'll see how accurate, how clear this description actually is. Shnei choytmin kishtei tipin shel zavuv. The nostrils of the fetus at this point are like two drops, or the two eyes of a fly. Toni Rabbi Chiya. Umukurovim zeloze. When describing the chotmen, the nostrils, they happen to be very close to one another. Upiv mosuach kechut hasayra, and its mouth appears very taut, like a hair. Ugvioso keadosha, and if it's a male fetus, so the size of its male sex organ is that of an adosha type of lentil, small bean. The im hoiso nekeva, and if it were a female, nikeres kisoiro seduka l'orka. Its gender point of identification would be something like a barley grain. A barley grain has a split in it, and in its length. V'chituch yodayim v'raglayim ein lo. At this point that we're talking about, the beginning of the fetal development, its arms and legs are not formed yet. The olav mefurish b'kabbalah, and in the in this case in Sefer Iov, Kabbalah are the holy writings. In other words, not the Chumash, but Kabbalah will include Nevi'im and Ksuvim. In this case, you have from Ksuvim, you have in Sefer Iov, Perek Yud, the Pasuk says, Halo kecholov tatichini v'chagvino takpieni. The Pasuk goes on, next part is a quote from Pasuk Yud Aleph, but in the meantime, Rashi explains, kecholov literally is milk. This is a reference to the seed that a man emits in the creation of a person. It is tatichini, it's something that's liquidy, and then it tatichini, that is v'chagvino takpeini has to do with something that's congealed. It eventually congeals, namely in the formation of an embryo. So Eov is, the Pusik is stating that I started off liquidy and then eventually become a person, something solid. Oru boser talbisheni, then skin and flesh develop. Vatsamos vigidim tesochicheni, and then bones and sinews cover me. Chayim v'chesed osisu imodi, ufkudoscha shomra ruchi. That pasuk is therefore associated with the development of a fetus. The ein boidkin oisei b'mayim, and in checking the fetus, one should not use water. Don't forget, we have to establish whether this is a shvir merukam or not, and has nafgaminis of tumas leida for a woman. So in the checking, do not use water. Shamayim arzin We continue now to the top of Amud Beis. Mayim Alzim means that the water is we call it a hard substance, but of course we'll see relative to oil. So the water has a certain toughness to it, v'tordinoso, and can result in dissolving the fetus that we're checking. Elaboykenoisoy b'shemen, but rather use oil. Shashemen rach umitzachzecho. It's considered a soft material and shines it. The ein royin elabachamo, and when you investigate, you use sunlight. And the next line and a half, you can see we have in brackets that we put in because the note on the margin we've written haloshon b'sogrim boitikun. The language in this bracketed section is inaccurate, as the Gemara itself points out. So if we skip the for a moment, we would continue reading b'med boitkino so leida im zocher hu im nekevohi. What medium do we use to determine the fetus's gender? And that will be explained afterwards. But in the meantime, let's go over from the third line where the brackets begin. Ketzad boikin oso. How does one do the checking of the fetus that has been discharged? Well, ketzad boikin oso kidamrinon. We just said how you do the checking. We said use oil, don't use water. So what are you asking about at this point? Ella, rather, the question that really is being asked, so leida im zocher hu im nekevohi. How procedurally do we do the checking in order to determine the gender, whether it's zocher male or nekevo female? Abba shol bar nosh v'amri lo, another version of the name, Abba shol bar remesh oma omer mevi kesam. You bring a toothpick or a splinter, shiroishoi choluk, that has a smooth head to it, umenanea ba'osamokum, and you will rub it over the area of gender. Im misachsech, if it gets caught, biyodua shezochru, then that's a sign there's something protruding, indicating its male gender. V'im lav, if the kesam goes right over it, then biyodua shenekevohi, then it's a sign that it's a female. Omrav Nachman, omar rabba baravua, lo shanu elo mila mato lamalo. This idea that the kesam riding right over that area is if you're making a movement from bottom toward the top. Avo min hatzdodim, if it's a side, a lateral type movement, and the kesam would get caught, it would not be a sign, a sure sign that it's a male, because kesle beis harechem ninu, that there's a slit there that is characteristic of a female, and that's called kosli beis harechem, literally the walls of the womb. But kesam could be caught in that slit, indicating, in fact, that that would be something characteristic of a female. So the getting caught of the kesam, or lack thereof, is a determining factor only if you're moving the kesam from bottom up. Omar Rav Ado Bar Avo Tono. Im, we have a Tanaic source, im hoisa nekevo nidoino kisoiro seduka. Looking at the Rashi on the fourth line from the top, im otono im hoisa nekevo nidoino kisoiro seduka leosofi ulefrushi oso. He is coming to, this source is coming to explain, to add and to explain, the liel toni nidoinis kisoiro velotoni seduka. Above, it was mentioned by above, we mean the early part of the Tanaic source that continued at the top of this Omid, but technically three lines from the bottom of Omid Beis, of Omid Aleph, that is the Tanaic source. It said v'imhoisin ekevo nikeres kisa'iro li'orka, in establishing the gender. The source said that if it was a female, it would have been noted by a barley grain in its length. So this Tanaic source means a barley grain having a slit in it. That would be the sign of its being a nekeva, a female. The Gemara asks, "V'dilm the maskifla Rav Nachman." The Dilma Chut Shel Beitzim Ninhu, maybe this slit is like the separation between the beitzim are the male testicles. Omar Abaye, hashto beitzim gufayu lo yadi. Mind you, the testicles themselves at this point are not recognizable. Chut shel beitzim yadiya, the thread between the beitzim, the separation between the beitzim, would be something that is noticeable. Hence, if you have a fetus at this early stage of development and there is a slit in that part, it would be a sign that it is a female, and you don't have to consider the chut shel beitzim. Omar of Amram, Tana, Shnei Yirei Chosov, Kishnei Chutim Shel Zahiris. The two legs are like two silk threads. The Omar of Amram Allah, and Rav Amram, who just quoted this Tanaic source, he comments on this source and says, Kishel Orev, when you're dealing with the legs, the early development of legs, we're talking about threads that are of the Orev. There's a, on a, in, when weaving a garment, you have strands on a loom that are that run in two directions. One is called the whoop, and one is called the wharf. The thicker ones are called orev. Ushnei zroisov kishnei chutim shel zahiris. Its two arms are like two silk threads. The Omer Rav Amram Allah, and Rav Amram in explaining the arm threads, kishel shesh kishel shti. The shti are the thinner of the threads on the loom, so that the legs in development are like the orev threads, the thicker ones, and the arm development is like the thickness of the thinner threads. Omar le Shmuel le Rav Yehuda. Shmuel, in addressing Rav Yehuda, he says, Shinina, wise one, lo savid uvda ad shi yasir. Don't come to a conclusion and don't conclude that it is a vlad until hair head hair develops. Umi Omar Shmuel Hachi, would Shmuel have said such a ruling? V'homar Shmuel Achazu V'achazu Choshesheshes. You have a little star to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text indicating Omid Aleph. You'll notice if you go back to Omid Aleph, you'll see where you have also on the left-hand side of the Gemara text a star, and that you'll notice opposite the third line under the Tosfos commentary, where Shmuel said regarding Shvir, whether it's clear or it's murky, it is considered a vlad, making no mention of head hairs. So why is Shmuel saying don't consider it a vlad until head hairs develop? Omar Rav Ami Bar Shmuel, Ledim Fushalami Noi Demar Shmuel. Rav Ami says it was explained to me by Shmuel, Lochush Choshesheshes, as far as being stringent and considering the stricter possibilities to observe the Tuma days, the 2 weeks of Tuma, that is what he said, Echod Zev Chazeh Choshesheshes. Yemeitara Goyavina Lo Ad Shiyasiris. However, as far as the pure days, the Tohor days that we give a woman in that following the Tuma days of birth, that we don't grant her unless it has that later level of development, head hairs. The Gemara asks a question that lasts a number of lines, and the Gemara asks, L'meimor d'mesafgalei l'Shmuel. This presentation of Shmuel indicating that at before head hairs develop, so we say lochush choshesheshes. We consider, we entertain, maybe it's a vlad, and on the other hand, maybe it's not. That would indicate that Shmuel has doubts, that he's not, he would not be sure of how to classify a shvir at a certain stage. But we will see very shortly that Shmuel could time things in fetal development down to the very day. So, once again, Lameimra de Mesafgale Lishmuel. This question lasts a few lines. You see the long question marking to the right-hand side of the Gemara text. V'ha, hahu Shapira, v'asoy l'kami d'mor Shmuel. There was a story, an incident, where a shvir was presented to Shmuel. Omar, and Shmuel said, ha bar arboin v'chad yoyma. This shvir has been in development 41 days. The choshev, and they made a calculation, miyoyma d'ozul l'tvila ad hayu yoma, v'lo hava el arboin yomin. The mother that discharged this 41-day fetus was able to have intimacy in a permissible fashion only 40 days ago. She had been tamea. Also, she went to immerse in the mikveh after having been a nida. And when did she immerse herself? 40 days ago. So, the Omar Lahu and Shmuel said, listen, if she went to mikveh 40 days ago, and we've got this 41-day embryonic development, hai benida boal, she had intimacy when she was a nida, and hence forbidden. Kafte v'oidi. Rashi explains, kafte v'oidi, kafte literally has to do with tying someone up, but they put pressure on him, on the husband, and he conceded that he had relations with her when she was still a nida. But Rashi says, Shmuel was an absolute expert in fetal development. So the question is, why did Shmuel say that prior to hair development, you have to consider maybe it's a vlad, maybe not? And we said, well, she gets only yemei tuma, no yemei tara. The Gemara answers, Shiny Shmuel, the Rav Guvrei. Shmuel himself, Rav Guvrei, was a very great person, very expert in these matters. And he was aware of that. And that he can't project his expertise onto others. So therefore, Shmuel gave a safer, a more conservative, careful approach to others in general, and that is that until it develops hair, you cannot be sure, you can't classify it for sure as a vlad. Shmuel himself could have determined the stage of development that a fetus is, but could not expect that of others. Hence he gave us this careful ruling above when he said, Echad zeh ve'echad zeh, she's chosheshes, and we give her only the yemei tuma. Hamapeles sandal v'chulei, tonu rabonan. The sandal is the situation where a embryo was discharged and it was flattened. Tonu rabonan, sandal doime ledag shel yam mitchiloso. The sandal is the embryonic discharge that is flattened is like a fish that's also a fish that has the same name. Sandal reminds you of the word sandal, which is something flat, maybe associated with the fish that we call soul. So the sandal is like that fish, mitchiloso vlad hu, elo shenirtsof. It started off as a vlad, but it got crushed. Rav Shimon Lil Omer, sandal doime leloshon shel shor hagodol. The sandal is like the tongue of a large ox. Mishum Rabu Senu Heidu Sandal Tzorech Tzuras Ponim. In the name of the sages, it was said that in order for the sandal to be classified as a birth, it would have to have a facial form to it. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Shmuel, Halacha Sandal Tzorech Tzuras Ponim. In order for a sandal to be considered a birth, it would have to have a facial appearance. Omar Rav Ado, Omar Rav Yosef, Omar Rav Yitzchok. Sandal tzorech tzuras ponim vafilu me'achorov. The sandal, in order to be considered a birth, would have to have facial features, even if it is from behind. Moshe li'odom shesotar es chavero v'hichsir ponov l'achorov. The imagery here is to one who, let us say, slapped his friend and his head turned around in a 180-degree circle. Or half circle turned 180 degrees around, where the face is now facing back. But as far as our point is concerned, the sandal facial features would constitute facial features, even if its head seems to be twisted around. Bimei Rabbi Yanai bikshu l'tayres a sandal she'ein loy tzuras ponim. In the era of Rabbi Yanai, there was this thought to consider the sandal as a non-birth, a sandal that has no facial features. Amar lahem Rabbi Yanai himself said, Tihartem es havlodos. How can you do that? How can you say a sandal that lacks facial features is not considered a birth? You're being metaher, you're declaring tohor a birth. The Gemara asks, what do you mean? But v'hotanya, did we not just learn mishum rabbeinu ido sandal tzorach tzuras upon him, that a sandal requires facial features in order to be considered a birth? So what was wrong with what they were trying to do by declaring tohor a sandal that has no facial features? Omar Rav Bevai Bar Abaye, Omar Rabbi Yochanan. Rav Bevai, quoting Rabbi Yochanan, says that this source is really a singular opinion. Me'eduso Shrabi Nechunya Nishnes Mishnah Zu. This Tanaic source is known only because of the testimony of Rabbi Nechunya, but it is not a well-known or popular approach, and therefore we're classifying it as a Shitas Yochid, and therefore the requirement of Tzuras Aponim is not really so, as far as Halacha is concerned, and therefore even without a Tzuras Aponim it could be considered a birth. Omar Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira, who was a contemporary of Rav Bevai, commented, Zochaba Rav Bevai b'shmeitze. Rav Bevai had great luck, great success and luck, that he said over this teaching in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, namely that this source, the source that we just referred to, was from the testimony of Rav Nechunya. Now, what does Rabbi Zeira mean that Rav Bevai had great success? The Ano Vahu, I and he, I meaning I is Rabbi Zeira, I and he and Rav Bevai, Havino Yasvinon Kamei de Rabbi Yochanan. We were both seated in front of Rabbi Yochanan Ki Omro Lahoshmaitza when he said over that point. The Kidam Ihu Viomar Vizochaba. He, Rav Bevai, spoke up first and spoke up quickly. And which, in effect, this was an answer to the question, an answer to defend Rav Yanai's position. So he was zeicha to speak up and offer that answer before me. Lomo his kiru sandal. The Gemara here is asking a question. Why is any mention of sandal made in the context of that the sandal is that which is considered a birth? Follow ein sandal she'ein imo vlad. A sandal is present only because there was another vlad there. It was the development of that other child that crushed or flattened this sandal. So the woman is tamea because of the other child, called the regular normal child that was born. So I don't need to describe or to reference the woman's tumah because of the birth of the sandal. There was another child there that flattened the sandal out. The Gemara answers: Idi asilida nekeva behadei hachinami. If there was a female birth along with the sandal, then you're right; the sandal would be of no consequence. And by the way, we're starting a long quest and long answer here that takes you to the bottom line of the Gemara, and we've illustrated that with a long answer marking to the immediate left hand side of the Gemara text. So the Gemara is saying that if in fact a female birth came along with the sandal, so there would be no reason to make reference to the sandal. However, Hocha b'mayaskinon, we've also noted a number one. There is a second answer coming up later, second line from the bottom, where it says Dover Acher, and we call that number two. But Hocha b'mayaskinon, the need of the Mishnah to make emphasize the sandal is the Isilid Zohar Bahadei. A male child came out with the sandal. Mahu detema hoyol v'yomar Rav Yitzchok bar Ami. And before we go to any further, let's just review something that we've mentioned numerous times till now. A zohar, a male birth, requires 7 tumah days, following which, generally speaking, there are 33 tahor days. We are saying, regarding the sandal, that the sandal birth necessitates taking into consideration male and female. And therefore, if a sandal birth is experienced, she observes the stringencies of Zohar and Nekeva. And hence, she will observe 14 tumah days. The chidush of sandal is what the Gemara is explaining right now, that this woman, had a male birth along with the sandal birth. So, I would have thought, without the Mishnah, that she will not observe Nekeva days, the additional 7 days, the additional week of Tumah. Mahu d'tema, hoyo v'yomar Rav Yitzchok bar Ami. Since Rav Yitzchok has the following teaching regarding conception, and it says, Isha mazras t'chila, yoledes zohar. If a woman is mazras, it's an expression that's hard to translate, but literally it would have to do with she seeds first, she emits first, so the child that will be born from that union will be a male. Ish mazriya t'chila, if the man emits first, yoledes nekeva, so it will yield a female birth. Midaha zachar, and in this case we have a twin birth, and you see clearly there is a male along with it, along with the sandal. So from fact, this is a male. Honami zachar, I would assume that the sandal was also a zachar. And then, without the Mishnah, a sandal birth along with a zachar, we would have ruled, is a 7-day tumah period. Komash Malon, Emo Shneem Hizriu Bevasachas. The chidush of the Mishnah is that maybe the couple, the man, the husband and wife, were Mazriya simultaneously. And as a result of that, Hai Zohar V'Hai Nekeva. The normal birth is, the full child is a male, but the sandal is a female. And as a result of that, we have to consider that maybe there was that the sandal is a female, and hence she'll have to observe 14 days of tumah. However, Tara, we have to consider the Zohar side of things, and that would extend only till day 40 as opposed to day 80 in the case of a female. Dovar Acher. Here, Rashi adds this second answer, saying even if there was a female birth along with the sandal, still there is a nafkamina. We said before in our first answer that if it was female birth, so there would be no need to emphasize the presence of the sandal, because the female birth automatically necessitates 14 days. But here we're saying she imtaled nekeva, even if there was a female birth along with the sandal, there still is a nafkamina. She imtaled nekeva lefnei shkia sechama, v'sandal la'achar shkia sechama, if this woman gave birth to the nekeva before sundown, which is the end of day one, let's say, and the sandal came out after shkia sechama, which represents the beginning of day two, moine tchilas nida l'rishon, utchilas nida la'achron. In her calculating her nida days, after the period of birth, we have to calculate, there's a birth period which has yemei tuma to it, and then yemei tahara, and following that, there restarts the nida counting. The nafkamina, Rashi points out, is if she were to see blood on day 81 since the first birth. And that gets involved with a somewhat involved calculation, which we will hold off on for right now, but the information is found in the Rashi. So for our purposes, even in the case of a nekeva being born along with the sandal, there still is a practical point of halachic ramifications for us to know that the sandal will have influence, we'll say, on the calculations in this particular case, where the sandal was emerged at a different time period than the nekeva. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.